story is, about 1:30 this morning, Doug came knocking on our door, and he said, "We can't find anyone else who'll do it." "Will you do it?" I'm just kidding. It was actually, he waited till 7 o'clock this morning. I was going to take a moment of silence. I had 6 points today, so we'll have to come up with one more. So as you go through this, you'll come up with one more. Well, when we talked yesterday about the Bible study this morning, I went back to my room and quickly decided to, as I prayed about it, to spend a little bit of time doing something I love to talk about, and that's missions. So there's 2 things that are on my heart this morning and decided to combine them together. One was on missions and the other is on prayer. I'll tell you, one of the things that really got me into missions was when I started hearing some people take the Word of God and begin to teach. And what I began to discover was I used to think there was a few select passages of Scripture that had to do with missions and the Great Commission passages of Scripture. And what I realized from front cover to back cover, this book's about God's mission story. And as you read just passage after passage, we begin to uncover God's heart for the world. And but today I want to talk about a particular aspect of that and the aspect of prayer. And I want to talk about 6 ways to pray for the mission's message. 6 ways to pray for the mission's message. We hear a lot about prayer. We hear a lot about praying for the needs of missionaries. But I want to look at the Apostle Paul today as he outlines for us 6 prayers that he prays for the message of missions. And that's the message of the gospel. And I hope that by the time we get through this time of Bible study today, that we'll have kind of a clearer idea of how to not only pray for our missionaries that are here at camp and the organizations that you're involved in as a camp meeting, but that we'll have a better understanding of how to pray for the gospel, the mission's message. And God's heart was that He would send His Son into the world and that this message of salvation would literally go reach the farthest ends of the earth. And that's how we need to pray today. When I first got started into missions years ago, I took my very first team that I led by myself to Mexico. And when I got up to preach that night, the person who was supposed to interpret for me was sick and he couldn't come. And so they had brought in a guy that owned a business and he was cooking for our team. And they said he speaks good English. And so he came up and was our translator. And instantaneously, God formed a bond between he and I, and we've become dear friends for some 25 years now, Jorge Ramirez. And so God just worked so powerfully through that relationship that we started doing a lot more with him, and he's been a dear partner for Go International through the years. But I would often go down, take a team down, and have intentions in my mind of saying to Jorge at some point during the trip, okay, I brought some money with me, and I had that in my mind that I had brought X number of dollars of cash with me, and I was wanting to bless him. Give him something he needed. And so I'd always sit down with Jorge, and I'd ask him a question that goes like this. What can I do for you, Jorge? What do you need? And I can't tell you how many times I've asked that question to Brother Jorge, and how many times he answered and just said this. Just pray for us. He's a real soft and gentle person. He said, because if you pray for us, God will supply all of our needs. I could never, no matter how hard I twisted his arm, no matter how hard I tried to get him to tell me the top 3 things he needed, every time, if I had him here today, he pulled him aside and said, hey, we got some money, what do you need? He'd just say, brother, just pray for us. Because if you pray for us, God will supply all of our needs. I think there's 3 critical ways that we can be involved in missions. We hear people talk about praying, you can give, and you can go. 3 critical ways that you can be involved in missions. And I think sometimes we've kind of looked at those in terms of, okay, the easiest way to be involved in missions is to pray, and then you can give. It's a little easier to give, and then the hardest thing to do is to go. But I'm not sure that's true. From my experience, I think sometimes it's a little easier to go than it is to pray. Because if you're going to commit to pray for this thing called missions and for missionaries and for the message of missions, it's a serious commitment. It's not just a matter of saying, well, I'll pray for you and tell the missionaries I'll pray for you and then just on to the next thing. Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to go because you can raise $1,200 and go on a trip and come back and then you check that off your list if you want to. But I think it's absolutely essential if we're going to have a heart and prayer for missions and for the missionaries and for the fields where they're working at, we've got to get a prayer burden and learn how to pray for our missionaries and pray for the mission's message. And I think it's critically important. Wesley Duell, former head of the OMS International, once said this, "We can reach our world if we will." He said, "The greatest lack today is not people or funds. The greatest need is prayer. Prayer is the greatest need. Dick Eastman once said this, "The evangelization of the world depends first upon a revival of prayer. Deeper than the need for workers, deeper far than the need for money, deep down at the bottom of our spiritual lives is the need for the forgotten secret of prevailing prayer, worldwide prayer," he said. Andrew Murray wrote, "Without prayer, even though there may be an increased interest in missions, more work for them, better success in organizations and greater finances, the real growth of the spiritual life and the love of Christ in the people may be very small without the power of prayer." John Mott said this, "Every other consideration and plan and emphasis is secondary to that of the wielding of forces of prayer." The great need I think we have today in the area of world evangelization is not funds and is not that more people will go. It's that God's people will begin to pray. And today I believe if we were to sit down with this great missionary, the Apostle Paul, and if we were to have a conversation with him and say, "Paul, tell us, what's the greatest need that you have in world evangelization in his day?" I think he would have taken us to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, and it's just four words. Just four words, and they say this, "Brothers, pray for us. Brothers, pray for us." Of all the things that God was doing through the Apostle Paul, and this possibly, I think, the greatest missionary outside of Jesus Christ listed in the New Testament and in the Bible, I think he'd just say those four words, "Brothers, pray for us." So today I want to look at, in our time of Bible study together, look at six key passages for prayer for the mission's message. And these are some things that I think Paul individually asked for in his times of prayer. So if you have a piece of paper, we're short of one, so if you find another one, just let me know, okay? And we'll get a little feedback at the end. But I like us to write down the first thing he would have us pray for is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. The context is in verse 2, where he says, "Devote yourselves to prayer." Okay? That's the context in which he's writing. Devote yourself. Give yourselves entirely to prayer. And then it says this in verse 3 of chapter 4 of Colossians. "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains." I think the first thing that we need to pray for the message of missions is this, that pray that open doors would open, there'd be open doors for the message of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you." You know, one of the things that has to happen for missionaries and for the mission message is there has to be a door opened up. And I'm telling you, I think it's one of the things we fail to pray for missionaries is that God would open up the door for them to communicate the message of Christ. One of the things I notice about my own life and the organization that I'm involved in and other missionaries that I get around is this. I find a lot of missionaries, including myself, that are willing to go wherever God opens up the door. But sometimes we can't go to a place where the door is not open. Where there's a closed door, we can't push that door through, and we need to begin to pray. And one of the things that's been absolutely amazing to me is to see over the last several years, even in my own ministry, as God's led me into the field of evangelism and missions, and is sometimes, you know, I pray all the time, God, open the door for us. I just pray that we'll be at the right place and the right time, and it's been interesting. You know, I found myself at times just in obedience, kind of going to a place to preach and knowing that probably it wasn't really a big place to preach, but God had some people there and they began to hear you and they began to say, "Well, I've got some connections with some people over here and I'd love to introduce you to this person over here and an invitation to go over here," and then you meet someone else and they get an invitation to go overseas somewhere and to do this and do that. And it's all in my mind the result of answered prayer opening doors. And as we begin to think about some of the great needs, financial needs that missionaries have all around the world, I think one of the things that needs to be moved to the top of our list in the area of missions is that of open doors. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, Paul and Barnabas returned from a trip to Antioch. It says in verse 27, "On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them, all the amazing things that God has done." And then he said this, "and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles." You know, in the Bible, you have this shift from God's people, the Jewish people, to the Gentiles. And in terms of missions, that's a big shift, taking the gospel to the unreached, to the people who hadn't heard. And there's a point in Paul's story where he's preached, and he's trying to communicate with the Jewish people. And finally he says this, okay, let it be known to you that from now on, my focus is going to be to the Gentiles. And he comes back in Acts chapter 14 here, and he begins to talk about how all the amazing things that God did. And I imagine if you took a look at that, it would be the numbers of people that came to faith in Jesus Christ, the miracles that probably took place. We read in the book of Acts how even Paul's handkerchief brought miracles and signs and amazing wonders that took place under that. But what he writes and talks about here, what he specifically says about the amazing thing that God did, he said he opened a door for us to go to the Gentiles. He also writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. He says, "For a great and effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." Here's something else to pray as you're praying for open doors. Because anytime God's opening up a door for the mission's message to be spread to the unreached people, you can be sure that Satan and his demons and his mighty forces are going to come against and try everything he can do to shut that door and to keep those from following through. How many times have you heard the story about a missionary who committed to go, and they said, "Yes, I'm willing to go." And they began to walk through that open door, and they've gone through sickness and trials and testing. And we talked yesterday about this whole idea of some testing. God allows some testing. He has a purpose for His testing. But sometimes the enemy is coming against us because we're taking the gospel of light into darkness, and he's trying to do everything he can do to absolutely shut it down and to shut the door. We need to be praying for this mission message that open doors would begin to take place. And that as God is opening up the doors for the Gentiles and for the lost, that God will protect those who are going, because there are many adversaries who are trying to close this open door. Someone once said prayer was the ignition to every great revival fire in history. Prayer was the key to the doorway of ministry for every preacher used by God in the past. Prayer was the key to the doorway that unlocked it in human history. I've been amazed as I've prayed that simple prayer. I don't know if you've ever prayed the prayer of Jabez before, and how God's used that prayer many times. This is not in the prayer of Jabez, but as you think about expanding our borders, it is part of the prayer of Jabez. And I have one of the consistent things I'm always praying for Go International is that God would just open up the doors. God would open up the doors. Internet's been a little spotty here on camp this week. Amen. That's been good, but it's also been kind of tough trying to keep an organization going back home. And I got an email from a guy that's an interesting story. We were leaving the Dominican Republic, and we've been there for about a week. My vice president, Ron Halp, who prayed the other night. And he and I were getting on the plane, and I have this practice. I'm always the last person on the plane. I mean, it's just guaranteed. I'm the last one on. It's not superstitious, but I know if I'm the last one on, no one's coming on. I can pick whatever seat I want to sit in, you know? And so Ron and I, two big guys, were walking in, and we're in the same row, and there's this guy in between us. And he walked on, and I said to Ron, I said, "You go ahead and take that one, and there's this whole row right here, and I'm going to take this row right here." And I sit down, and I hear Ron sit down, and he looked at both of our shirts, and he says, "What does G-O stand for?" Go. Okay? It's the number one question we get asked in missions. What does G-O stand for? He said, "Tell me about the ministry of Go International." He began to talk, and he began to share. So Ron, when we get to baggage claim, he said, "That guy's pretty interesting." He said, he wants to find out more about Go International. He said, "It turns out he's starting a ministry himself. He's getting ready to start his own 501c3 company. And he wants to start a ministry called DocuMissions. He is involved in film and editing and kind of multimedia types of things. And the more he heard about Go International, he got thinking, you know, why reinvent the wheel? And so he said he wants to come up and see us sometime." So I thought, yeah, the guy from South Carolina is going to drive all the way up to Wilmore and see us and talk to us a little bit about being involved in ministry. And so about 2 weeks ago, before we came down here to camp, Ron said to me, he contacted us, and Jim contacted us, and he wants to come and to meet with us before you go off to camp. So Jim came up, and we've been praying, "God, open up doors for us, bring us people. We're not trying to talk people into doing this." He said, "Just God, bring us the kind of people we need." And he came up, and you know, the board of directors had met with us about a year ago, and they said, Bert, we really want you to go after marketing. We need a marketing director here at Go International. Well, if you've ever led a mission organization, you know, there's no money left over for marketing, and so we kind of do that by ourselves. And I kind of sat there and nodded to the board, and I said, okay, yeah, we'll do that. Put that on the back burner somewhere. And how am I going to go out? I don't have the money to do everything we need to do. How am I going to just go get someone who just does marketing? And so I sat down with this guy, Jim, the other day in my office. Said, Jim, tell me about your background. He said, well, my background's sales and marketing. Okay, I'm listening. And he began to share with us a little bit about what God was doing, and we began to share the vision for Go International and what we're doing. I said, Jim, I just want you to go home and pray about this. You know, if you see that you could do your ministry through Go International, we'd love to connect up with you. If not, man, just anything we can do together would be great. And I got an email from him yesterday, and he began to outline for me what he felt like God was doing. He said, I want to launch DocuMissions as a ministry of Go International and travel around and work with missionaries around the world and help them document the work that God's doing and help put that into film and to kind of pieces that they could use to raise funds for their ministry. And I want to be able to travel around. He said, I'll raise all my own funds for that. I'll raise the funds that are necessary to get that done. He said, but then he said, I also believe that God wants me to help Go International out in the area of marketing. And he said, in development, he said, I'd like to raise about $50,000 this year for Go International. I said, let me pray about that. No, I didn't say that at all. Listen, I want to tell you something. When we begin to pray that God will begin to open up doors, I mean, we couldn't have picked a better place to sit down than when we sat down on that plane and how God uniquely brought us together and how that was an open door for us. One of the things we need to pray for missionaries and for the work of Christ around the world is this, that open doors would open up wide for hearing of the gospel. And so I pray that we'll do that. First thing is that we pray that open doors will take place. The second thing I think Paul challenges us to pray for the mission message is not only pray to open doors for the message. He says, pray for the message to be proclaimed clearly. Pray that the message may be proclaimed clearly. He says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Not just devote yourself to prayer and pray that there be open doors for this message, but then he goes on to say this, pray this, that I'll preach it with clarity as I proclaim the Word of God. Now, I want to tell you something. That's not an easy thing. I took a lot of preaching classes when I was at Asbury. But I got to tell you, I learned how to preach on a mission trip with Roy Lauder in Jamaica. Because I'd been trained, you always start with a story, you always have a nice three-point outline. I don't know about seven-point outlines in school, you know. That's just a new thing, really. And so I've been trained on this, you know, you get your illustration from contemporary life and all that kind of stuff. And I'll never forget, Roy and I went this part of the island down there that didn't have a church over there, and we got to as far as we could drive, and we rafted across the river to a place where there was just kind of a little thatch hut kind of place, and they'd run an extension cord over the mountain and hung a light bulb in the middle of it. And I stood up with my sermon, and it was well crafted. Until I stood before those people there and I realized, this isn't going to work. And I felt like the Lord said, just take the Word and share it and try to preach it as clearly as you can. As simple as you can. And I'll never forget, on that night I made a commitment to God that I would try to study the Scriptures and I would try to put things together as clearly as I could so I could take the gospel message and everywhere I went, try to impress people, wow, that guy's deep theologically. But to try to just with simplicity and clarity communicate the gospel. Well, there are a lot of challenges with that. I mean, we took on one of the first teams I was ever on. We were also down in Mexico, and we had taken a pastor with us, and we thought we'd let him preach. And so he got up to preach that night, and he was going through the interpreter, and he was preaching on the six ships in God's Navy. And he preached on friendship, discipleship, fellowship. But when it got translated, there were no ships in it. You know, so everyone's sitting around going, ships in God's Navy. I mean, it was all cute sermon, you know, here in the United States to have those kind of ships. But man, everyone's sitting around the audience going, what is he talking about? You know, and here we are in Mexico. They're not knowing about the ships in God's Navy, you know. And so it was not a clear connection. Sometimes we think we got to take the Word of God and we got to spice it up and make it exciting so people can understand it. No, we got to just preach it. It can stand on its own. And I tell you, we'll proclaim the gospel with a lot more clarity and truth if we'll just take this and just talk about what it is and what Jesus has said and what God said through His Word and to proclaim it clearly. We need to pray that for our missionaries. I was with Dr. Stevens on a medical team in Kenya, Kibera slum there in Nairobi. And I had an interpreter, even though they kind of speak English there, the dialect is so strong, it makes it really difficult to speak. And every time I spoke, and so when I was the evangelist on the team, and we had the thing set up so they'd let a couple hundred people in at a time, and I'd share the gospel with them and lay out the plan of salvation, and they'd take them to triage and walk them through the doctors and the pharmacists and the dentists and so on and so forth, and then they'd come back out, and another group would come in, and so it worked out pretty good. I'd talk, and then he'd translate, and sometimes into two dialects there, and so it was a good connection. And then one day someone came up to needed some special prayer, and they pulled away my translator, and he was gone. And they came to me and said, "Bert, you got to speak here because we got this other group that's getting ready to come through, and if you don't now, they're going to be gone through, and they're going to miss the message." Man, I'm thinking, I can't do this. And up until that point, I mean, it was so essential that I had that translator to kind of translate the message. And God said, "God, I want to pray for a supernatural imparting of Your Holy Spirit right now that will help me communicate this in the simplest terms I've ever communicated in my life." And I prayed, and I had some of our team members praying for me, and I stood up without an interpreter, and I shared the simple message of the gospel. And I don't know how God did it, but when we got done, I said, "How many of you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" And hands began to go up all over that group of people that had gathered in the Kibera slum. I was a little concerned because I didn't want them raising their hand just because they wanted medicine or to see the doctor. They were afraid they didn't raise their hand. And so later on, I talked to my translator who went around and got to talk to some other people. And he began to tell me the testimonies of the people who believed in the name of Jesus. You see, we got to pray for this mission's message that the doors begin to open for the gospel to spread and go to the places where it's never been before. We need to pray for the message to be proclaimed clearly and understandably by those who have this open door and have this opportunity to preach and share the gospel. Notice number three, the third thing I think Paul would pray is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He said this, "Pray for the messenger to be fearless." Pray for the message to be fearless. Paul writes, "Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will preach fearlessly and make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, and pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." I tell you, one of the things that's troubling me today in the church is how we've watered down the pulpit. And I believe, and this isn't missions. I'm going to a little soapbox here, Doug, if you don't mind. I'm seeing and hearing so many pastors. This sin is so prevalent in the church today and in leadership that we're afraid to preach and proclaim the truth of the gospel for fear it may offend somebody. And I want to tell you something. This is a powerful book. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And if we don't preach what it says, the Holy Spirit's not going to have an opportunity to penetrate the hearts of sinners and draw them to repentance and to be set free from that sin. I hear stories all the time of pastors who say, "Well, I've been told, you know, one pastor that we knew real well who came to our church when we were pastoring in Pennsylvania had lost his pastorate because the leaders of the church said, 'We don't want to hear any more of this sin stuff.'" And they let him go. And it seems to me, in the day that we're living in, that we're living where people want to preach, and the Bible talks about this in the end times, people will preach what the itchy ears want to hear, right? And what's convenient, and what makes people feel happy, and some simple steps to be happy and to be fulfilled. And yet, really, to me, to find that fullness and fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we got to deal with the sin issues. Listen, it concerns me, and I don't say this to glorify myself, but God gave me victory over this years ago. And I just feel like you just preach whatever God lays on your heart and let it be. They don't have to invite you back, right? And I got people come up to me all the time and say, well, brother, that took a lot of courage to preach on sin tonight. Really? I don't think that way. What I was commissioned with was to preach the Word. Preach what it says. And I think with all my heart, for those of us who have been tasked with rightly dividing the Word of truth, we just got to tell it like it is. If they don't like our sermons, I love what they said about A.W. Tozer. He said he tried to work himself off every pulpit in America. He just preached the truth. People felt uncomfortable. I'm sure there were people who said, don't invite that guy back. Because he's preaching stuff that's stepping on our toes. But you know what Paul's prayer request was? He said, pray that every time I open my mouth, that I'll preach the Word of God fearlessly and boldly in the name of Jesus. You know, there's a danger as open doors begin to open up for missionaries around the world. One of the challenges, I think, and it's a legitimate challenge, is how forceful do we become with this message? Because we don't want the door to close on us. We don't want to say anything that might offend. And that's, we've got to be very, very careful of that. I found myself one time in Russia being interviewed by a class. Was told as we're going in that the person, one of the guys in the class, was even though the KGB is no longer active, that one was a KGB agent who was there, and I needed to be very careful about what I said. And so I prayed. I prayed that God give me fearlessly the ability to speak the truth the way I should, not to shut that thing down so I wouldn't get a chance to share everything that, you know, and present it in a way that I could talk with personal conviction and passion. But we need to pray that God helps the messengers of the gospel who are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth to preach it fearlessly. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7. And verse 18, it's a passage of Scripture that God gave me early on as my life passage of Scripture. It says, get up and get yourself ready and stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand up against the whole land, against the kings of Judah and its officials, its priests, and its people of the land. Listen, don't be fearless. Get up and preach the Word of God. Fear is what often keeps people from volunteering in world missions, by the way. Do you know that? There's a spirit of fear that's prevailing. Now, if I go there, it's going to be trouble. It's going to be danger that lies ahead of us. So prayer number one, pray for open doors. Prayer number two, pray for the message to be proclaimed clearly. Number three, pray for the messenger to be fearless. Number four, pray for the message to spread rapidly. Pray for the message to spread rapidly. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul writes this, finally, brothers, pray for us. There he is. This is his prayer request again. That the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it was with you. I'm going to tell you something. I think these are all linked together. Once we begin to start praying for open doors, and once we begin to pray that we'll speak this message clearly, and once we pray for the messenger to preach it fearlessly, then we need to pray that the message will spread wherever it goes rapidly. If you're reading the Gospels, the common phrase that's used over and over and over again is the phrase that goes like this. News about Jesus spread throughout the region, throughout the countryside, far and far and beyond. News about Jesus spread. As you begin to look at the book of Acts, and this great multiplication, this great story of missions and how God multiplied it in the book of Acts, we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily. How many of you would love for God to add to your church daily? You'd be okay with that? Well, don't answer that yet because I'm not done with this passage of Scripture yet. Okay, that's a good thing. In the book of Acts, God added to the church daily. But if you get to chapter 6, verse 1, it says the number of the disciples was multiplying. God was multiplying the number of the people in the church. Now, you said most of us would be content with having God add every day to our church. But how about if God began to multiply the number of disciples in the life of the church? And so Acts chapter 6, verse 1, we've gone from addition to multiplication. And later on in verse 7 of chapter 6, it says, so the word of God spread. Why? Because they were adding to the church daily. Then it started multiplying. And when it started multiplying, it started spreading out everywhere. And chapter 12, verse 24, look at the progression in the book of Acts. The word of God continued to spread and increase and grow the more. Now listen, it's amazing. addition, multiplication began to spread. And then in chapter 12, it's spreading and multiplying and increasing even all the more. And then in chapter 19, verse 20, it said this, "The word spread widely and grew in power." Now, here's the thing. We've got to be careful about how we pray this prayer. Because most of us would love to pray the prayer of rapid multiplication in our churches, in our places where we gather together. But now go back and read through the book of Acts and see how God did it. They had to endure a lot of testing and trials and persecution. They had to be brought before religious leaders and they said, "Listen, you've got to stop preaching in this name of Jesus. Stop mentioning His name." You know what they said? "God, give us boldness. Help us to preach fearlessly." And they said, we have to answer not to you, but to God. And we will not stop preaching in the name of Jesus." And they flogged them and beat them and sent them out. But they kept on preaching. They kept on preaching. Prayer is action, David Bryant said. "By it we step out in advance of all other results. Prayer is an activity upon which all others depend. By prayer we establish a beachhead for the kingdom among peoples where it has never been before. Prayer strikes the winning blow. All other missionary efforts simply rather gather up the fruits of our praying." God help it to spread everywhere. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." That's what we need to pray for the mission's message. That through us, God would spread everywhere the fragrant knowledge of Jesus Christ. Number five, the fifth prayer that we need to be praying for the mission message is this. Pray that everyone might hear it. Pray that everyone might hear it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles may hear it." What he's saying is not only that I'm going to turn to the Gentiles and I'm going to ask that the message be clearer as I preach it, that it be fearless, that it begin to spread rapidly, but then he begins to pray specifically that they'd hear the message of the gospel. I'll never forget years ago when I went on the first mission trip to Jamaica, and as many people gathered in that little church as they could, and there were people gathered everywhere else, and the sound of your voice, they were hearing the message of the gospel. And when the invitation was given that night, it was unbelievable to me to see the number of people who were coming who weren't even in the building, coming into faith in Jesus Christ. And begin to pray that they begin to hear the message. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 17, Paul writes this, "How then will they call upon whom they've never believed? And how are they to believe in Him whom they've never even heard? And how are they to hear unless someone preached to them? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God." Great story. I mentioned the other day that I used to be on staff with the Christian Medical and Dental Associations in Bristol, Tennessee. It's a group of about 17,000 Christian doctors, one of the largest medical missionary groups in the world. They have an organization under the CMDA called GHO, Global Health Outreach, and they take medical teams around the world. And they had a team in China just about a year or so ago, and they were quite limited on what they could do in terms of evangelism and sharing of the gospel. And so they would gather the team of medical people together every night in their room for a time of devotions and prayer. And as was their custom, they began to sing a lot of songs about the faith. And they said one night they were kind of discouraged because they really wanted to be in a place they could go out and spread the message and just go out like you do in other parts of the world and just do street campaigns and share the gospel. And one night there was a little tap on the door as they were praying and a sheet of paper was slid under the door. And it read this, "Sing more songs." Here was this group of people who had gathered together and they had no idea. singing and praying, and almost like Paul and Silas at midnight. How people were hearing the message of the gospel, as Doug was saying even last night, through those hymns that were being taught and sung. And they said, sing more songs. The sixth thing I think we need to pray today for the gospel message is this. Pray for the financing of the message. Remember it said, Paul says in Romans chapter 10, how can they hear unless someone preaches them? And how can someone preach to them unless they're sent? I like to talk about three ways you can be involved in missions in terms of GPS. I'm going to have a GPS. Gets you everywhere you need to go in life. And I've been to a lot of these camps, except Taylor County is not on my GPS. I had to just get to Butler and wander around to found this place, right? GPS. You can be involved in missions through going, praying, and sending. GPS. Our satellite imaging system, global positioning system will help us get this gospel to the world. And we can be involved in missions through going, praying, and sending. Going's important. I think when we take people on short-term mission trips, it gives them a heart for the world. It lets them see a passion for the ministry. Many times, many full-time career missionaries today are now in full-time Christian service because someone took them on a short-term mission trip. I stand before you today as someone who's a full-time missions today, and the only reason why I'm in full-time missions is someone cornered me, Roy Lauder cornered me into going on a trip, and I had come up with every excuse why I couldn't, shouldn't go. And he took me on that trip, and it changed my life. And I kept going back and going back and going back until finally today, I'm giving my life to raising up people and funds and resources to help fulfill the Great Commission. But it wouldn't have happened if someone hadn't taken me. I went, began to get a prayer burden for some of the people and places that God was taking us. And because of that, we're doing everything we can do to raise up this young generation to go out and to fulfill the Great Commission. Because I believe we're very close to the Lord's returning, but the Bible says that He's not coming back till the ends of the earth get a chance to hear this gospel message. And so we've got to do everything within our power to get the gospel message out. But one of the things we need to be praying for is this. Not only that open doors begin to open up, but that God would provide the finances that are needed for missionaries to take steps. I know Brother Doug was telling about 106 missionary trips, but they weren't free, were they, Doug? It cost a lot of money to do that. And a lot of people have invested in his ministry. There, right now, I can tell you right now, at Go International, we have way more opportunities, way more doors opening up for us. And I'm sure that's true with every organization that's represented on this campground and every other missionary organization. There are way more requests and open doors than there are finances to walk through it. And here's what I'm convinced. God's able. God's able to provide. Paul writes in Romans 15, after he's already talked in Romans chapter 10, but now there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I do plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there. Have you assist me on my journey. After I have enjoyed your company for a while, now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have share in the Jews' spiritual blessing, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come to you in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. He says in verse 30, I urge you, brothers, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy, together with you, and be refreshed. You know what he's saying? The door's opening. There have been some people who have invested in it for me to go. Pray that God will continue to provide the resources that are necessary to fulfill that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. It's also in the context of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. You know, I've got a message that I'm working on right now, and it's called the most misrepresented verses of Scripture in the Bible. And I'm sure there's seven of them, at least. Seven times seven. And what I'm finding is there's a lot of verses that we take out of context, and this is one of them. You know, we talk about one of the verses is, go and lo, I'm with you always. We love to proclaim and testify, God promises He'll never leave us. But that's a verse of Scripture taken out of context. What He says is, go, and lo, I'm with you always. His presence comes with us as we act in obedience and go. Heard an old preacher one time say, as you use now the King James, go and lo, I'm with you always. He said, no go, no lo. Right? I mean, I like that. Because the presence comes with us go. And Philippians, here's another one of these passages of Scripture taken out of context. And my God shall supply all of your needs in glory. And we get up and we preach verses of Scripture like that and we'll say, listen, if you've overspent yourself and you're in debt and all this kind of stuff, just trust Jesus. He'll supply all of your needs. It's not what the Bible's saying at all. Let me tell you what it's saying. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, he's talking about thank you for the gift. When Paul says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory, you know what the context was? Giving to missions. You heard the testimony the other night when someone stepped out and bought a donut, how God provided that money. It's not you can go spend your money however you want to do it, and then God will bail you out, and God will supply all your needs and all your wants and all your needs and greeds, as someone said, and that's not the way that works. But when we begin to get involved in this thing called missions, then it changes everything. And the thing that thrills me the most is I see a lot of interaction. I travel around the country and preach in a lot of missions conferences and meet missionaries from all kinds of organizations. Man, there are some called people. They are. And I am continually amazed by their stories. And they're saying, will you send us? We want to go. Will you send us? So I pray today that as we think about this thing called missions and the missions message, that we'll begin to pray very specifically. Pray for open doors for the message. Pray that the message would be proclaimed clearly every time an open door comes. Pray that the messenger would be fearless. Pray for the message to spread rapidly as it begins to be proclaimed. Pray that everyone may hear this message of salvation. And pray for the financing of it as well. Let me close with these two thoughts. Dr. A.C. Dixon wrote this, when we rely upon organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we rely on education, we get what education can do. When we rely on eloquence, we get what eloquence can do, and so on. But when we rely on God and in prayer, we get what only God can do. It's good, isn't it? John R. Mott said this, it is possible for the most obscure person in the church with a heart right towards God and through prayer to exercise as much power for the evangelization of the world as it is for those who stand in the most prominent positions and pulpits across the world. The most obscure person right before God praying for the mission's message. Will you pray for it? You know, it's a firm conviction. I was honored when Brother Doug asked me if I'd do the Bible study this morning. Because I don't think missions today should be one day in the life of a camp. It's the heartbeat of why we're here, isn't it, Brother Doug? That's why we're here. That's why these missionaries are come. Let's pray. Will you commit to praying these six things that we talked about today? Write them down in your Bible. Write down these things. Begin to pray. And throw a few missionaries' names in there as well. Keep some prayer cards surrounded around those six things. And I believe we'll reach the world for Christ. Let's pray. Father.